podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Lookout, a mobile security company trusted by over 40 million customers. Lookout specializes in stopping new cyber threats, finding lost or stolen phones, and backing up data. Protect your Android device now by visiting lookout.com/AAA for the free download. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use, doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one pooled plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit allaboutandroid.ting.com. That's allaboutandroid.ting.com. Hello, and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 124, recorded on Tuesday, August 27th, 2013. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And Gina is pulling a Ron this week.
Oh, wow, I'm already a verb.
Gina had had some important work stuff come up, for her real job outside of All About Android. All About Android isn't the only thing that Gina does.
It's not the only thing I do either.
Yeah, exactly.
Although it would be great if it was.
Spend 40 hours a week on this show.
Other responsibilities like you do? Other responsibilities?
Maybe not 40 hours a week, but close.
Seems like it, yeah. But luckily we have a guest.
Absolutely. It's about to get thick with confusion in here because after many times of bringing Jason Applebaum on and there being the two Jasons on the show thing, now we have Ron Amadio, who is now actually, we're stoked to have you on. You've been with Android Police for quite a while, and we've featured your APK teardowns and a lot of what you've written for Android Police in the past on the show so many times. You're now working for Ars Technica as a reviews editor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's really good to get you on the show, and you also, by the way, come highly requested from a lot of the fans of the show. So it's awesome to get you on here, and I can't wait to see how confusing the whole two Ron thing turns out.
We're going to need to figure out some sort of like Ron 1, Ron 2, or something like that.
Ron A, Ron R.
Oh, I thought, or Ron B.
I get to be Ron A. I mean,
yes, exactly. See, you lucked
out. It's true. Yeah, smart. There you go. There you go.
Don't make it more confusing.
Dang it. He's learning. Well, we have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about this week, as hopefully we usually do. We'll be discussing a ton of teased hardware, actually, hardware that isn't quite out yet, but we're hearing a lot about it ahead of next week's IFA conference. The death of notification ads, I hope, drama in Chromecast land, and so much more. But Chad, I hope you have it ready. We have some breaking news.
He got so happy with that.
I got it.
It's been a while. So what's the breaking news?
Nexus 4 price drops by $100. Says this article at Android Police. $199 for an 8 gig version of the Nexus 4. $249 for 16 gigs. $100 is a large price drop by any.
That is amazing.
It's a lot, yeah.
And especially for this phone in particular, the Nexus 4 has just proven to be a tremendously awesome phone.
It's up there on the homepage of the Google Play Store. They're pushing it. I wonder if this is, the price drop, is this to stay competitive or is this to clear out inventory?
This is the preface.
Nexus 5, baby, they're getting rid of that stock. I hope so.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm
ready.
So.
I'm ready to upgrade.
You're probably not wrong. When did the Nexus 4 is what? Is it a year old now? Is it?
Yeah, it came out in
it's closing in on it.
November-ish. Well, Hurricane Sandy happened.
Yes. That's what it was. Yeah. I totally forgot. Yeah, so it hasn't even been a year yet. So we'll see. It's curious that the price drop when there's so many other great phones, and also the Google Play Edition phones are in the store now, whether the HTC One or the Samsung Galaxy. It'll be interesting to see how well this sells and if they do clear the inventory and what is coming next.
Still, $199 for an unlocked phone of this caliber.
Can't beat that. If you're curious about Android and you want it, but the cheap phones aren't good enough for it, Nexus 4 is the phone I use, and Ron, you use it too, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's been my main phone all year.
Yeah. So now's a great opportunity at a low price to jump on board.
Jason. So one of these days I'm going to have to get rid of my high-tech Galaxy Nexus.
Wow, yeah.
Chad, too.
Oh, see?
Look at Chad pulling the Laurel and Hardy thing with no voice.
It's a little bit harder to pull the microphone down. I'm just too lazy to do it.
I understand. Chad's so lazy, especially when he switches
this
show.
When it comes to this show, exactly. You have no idea.
All right. Well, so there you go. If you're holding out on a good price for a great phone, maybe the Nexus 4 is what you need to get. Check it out. And let's dive right into the news. All right. So this is another one of those drama, like soap opera thingies. So
that we probably could have predicted.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
It's interesting when these things kind of play out because you get the whole kind of soap opera from start to finish. So let me do my best to kind of describe what happened here. Last week, we actually featured on the show AllCast, which is an app developed by Kaushik Dutta that allows anyone to throw any media basically to the Chromecast, whether it's been enabled in the app of choice or not. Kosh basically reverse engineered the code on the Chromecast to do this. And it's important to also note that the API, the official API, is as of yet unpublished. So Kosh totally went rogue by doing this, which is not uncommon for developers to do. They find these ways to do really cool, interesting, neat things on Android. That's one of the reasons why Android is so great.
Well, we should celebrate.
Yes,
it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Hey, we were celebrating when we were talking about it on the show last week. Yeah. Like, hey, this is pretty awesome that you could do this. Then an update to Chromecast happened. And in the process, it effectively killed the ability to do everything that AllCast was doing. So basically, you couldn't take any media from your gallery and just, throw it up onto the Chromecast using this app anymore. Kosh is very active on Google+ and said, the policy seems to be very heavy-handed, where only approved content will be played through the device. And basically went on to say that, Google broke this capability intentionally. Chromecast will probably not be indie developer friendly. So he's definitely kind of taking a stance in this, and he has some, from what I understand, some precedent in previous kind of interactions, working with Android and how kind of the rug, at least in his mind, has been kind of pulled out from under him. So he has kind of precedent to kind of fall back on it and make comments like this. Google responded to The Verge's request for comments, stating, "We're actually excited to bring more content to Chromecast and would like to support all types of apps, including those for local content." And basically just stipulating, like, look, the SDK, all this stuff is not public yet. We have a whitelist, and, so some people are like, well, why do you have a whitelist for this thing if you want it to be able to do all these cool, crazy things? But at the same time, anytime you're using any code that's not published and you're kind of going the backdoor route, expect issues.
That's that, but it's also it's involving media.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, is that they have a whitelist because they want Hulu to develop support for it. Or they already have Netflix. They want Amazon, or they want whomever else is serving media. And if we can serve our own local video, then we will bypass those services and their partners will get angry. That's what it boils down to. That's how I read this, the only media you're going to be able to see on Chromecast is going to be the ones that they are allowing because of their deals. Mm-hmm. That's my guess.
Yeah, Kosh was talking about the Google TV team, and they have a bit of a history of being a little more closed off than the normal, like, Google, Android stuff, whatever, just because, like you said, they have to appease Hulu and all of those companies. And if it's seen as like a bastion of piracy, they just won't, they just won't bring their apps over. But it's nice that they specifically said you'll be able to send local files over just as soon as they get around to actually getting the SDK up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it makes me feel better.
Yeah, so we'll see how kind of how that plays out and when this stuff will kind of get official so that developers like Koch can actually create things that aren't relying on these kind of like pieces, you know, that you've reverse engineered. I commend him, though, and I commend any developer that's able to kind of get in there and do these kind of things. It's just, it's interesting to see what you're it's capable of. It's just too bad that right out of the gate we're not able to do it. Though I told, you know, I completely understand the politics behind it.
Well, what's interesting is that because this happened, I wonder how much that's going to speed up their timeline to make it more accessible by developers. Because now that this has happened and they've already had to smack it down once, they're putting so much behind the Chromecast and that there's it got so much goodwill coming out of the gate that do they now, will they reach out to Koch or will they figure out a way to make it work sooner than later or will they stay steadfast? I'm curious if he is going to force their hand on the openness issue and whether or not
I really don't get the reasoning of disabling it either. It's like, okay, so someone has like a hack that makes it work right now, but so? Why do you need to disable that?
Yeah, it seems like a weird... Yeah. Well, I mean, Google loves their control. You know what I mean? The moment somebody, you know, the moment somebody hacks the algorithm for on search stuff, they tweak the search algorithm so the hack doesn't work anymore.
That's true.
You know, like as much of a hacking with from within company they are, they don't like it when people hack from outside. So yeah,
that's a very good point.
Curious. It puts them in a precarious position. I'll be curious to see how it affects the rollout of the API or whatnot, whether they do it sooner rather than later. But I bet you it's those partnerships, man. It's media. It's TV. Yep.
And damn it, Chromecast is awesome. I just got to get that in there whenever I can because I absolutely love it.
It is so cool.
So mine was scheduled to be delivered yesterday, and turns out it got delivered while I was in New York, and like someone in my apartment building has it.
What?
Like, yeah, I know. It's just like I'm dying for it. And then sure enough, last night I wanted to watch something. I'm like, if I had Chromecast, I could put this on the TV. And so I need to go be home at a normal hour and chase it down from whoever in my apartment.
Ron,
has
did
it.
You make the mistake of ordering it from Google Play?
I did.
Yeah, that's why. Never order from Google Play. It takes a year.
Well, no, normally it's fine. I mean, I ordered my phone off Google Play. It was no problem. And it got delivered. The whole thing really? Is as opposed to leaving it in the lobby where the UPS guy normally does. But someone took it upon themselves to hold it for me.
Maybe the difference is you ordered your phone well after it was, you know, a new phone, right?
Oh,
You got it pretty late after the fact.
Later,
Google's track record with selling things like right out of the gate using their online...
I believe twice now I've canceled a Google Play order and gone to a store and purchased it, like a launch day Google Play order.
Wow.
And I'm like, it's in stores right now, so just no, it's it's
why? Why?
I'm way too forgiving or like sure, they'll do a great job. They'll get it to me.
They'll prove me wrong. Yeah,
this time will work. Yeah. Anyway, well, speaking of this time, a big update to the Google Play developer policy from Google got rolled out with some pretty big, like monumental changes. And stuff that we've been talking about, and it looks like Google's kind of taking a stance on them. So basically, these changes go effect into the Play Store in 30 days for existing apps. So as of September 23rd, 2013, which is 30 days from when these were announced. And the ones to take note, they did a whole bunch of stuff in terms of language and content and things like that. But the important ones are the ones that probably, you know, we're going to talk the most about here. So AirPush and other notification advertisements are now dead. They're removed. So that's huge.
They're prohibited.
So that's huge. Apps that impersonate other apps or services or entities are going to get further cracked down on. So there's much less kind of fooling or, you know, manipulative kind of applications that are meant to deceive, which is great in terms of protecting users. And full screen ads now must provide an obvious way to close them without opening the ad.
Oh, man. Yeah, I hate those. That's the worst, too. You get this full screen thing. You're like, where's the time? You know, this is like... 5 pixels X up at the top corner.
And what killed me about it now is that I forget it was either Flickster or IMDb. It was one of those two apps that I use on a fairly regular basis. Like Flickster, I love to give me movie listings and all that sort of stuff. It gave me a full screen ad with a very small box to close, and it was Remnant Inventory advertising their own website. And it's like, I'm using your app.
You that's to, so you know, bad.
Like,
I don't know. All that stuff was always a nice, like, sign of stupidity for app developers. And it was a good way to know. Just, uninstalled, goodbye.
Yeah, right. It's an immediate clue. It's like opening up an app that just got released and it has old design elements from, you know, older versions of Android. And you're like, okay, that's enough of a sign for me. I don't even want to pay attention to the rest of the thing.
Goodbye.
But what's interesting though now is that that aspect of the apps that can't, you know, kind of impersonate other other services or other apps or stuff like that, they've extended their policy to that. Basically, it applies not only to the app but to your developer name and website. So not just the content and the icons or ads or any other stuff within your app. So if you're passing yourself off as Google with three O's or some other way, you know, like, you know, you've named your developer Microsoft with two T's, they can crack down and reject the app and reject your developer account. So, I mean, it's all important steps to protect the platform and to, you know, basically help users get apps that are worth getting, that are actually valuable and not malicious in any way.
So, very friendly to the user.
Yeah.
With the changes, those changes. Cool. And then finally, this, I wasn't entirely sure that this is entirely Android necessarily specific, but there will be an Android app for it. So I was like, why not? If you're looking for help, maybe Google Helpouts is what you're looking for to find the solution to that. Once it's live, it's not live yet. Once it is live, the service will actually connect people seeking help in things like home and garden, education, cooking, computers, electronics, with experts in those fields for either a per session, per minute fee, or even for free if that person chooses. And they'd be leveraging Google Hangouts in this, you know, for this kind of thing. And they say there's going to be an Android app. I just thought this was kind of cool. This seems like a really good application of the power of Hangouts, and like I could completely see why this would be of value to somebody. I've got this problem.
Yeah.
I could talk to this person right now and be connected to them. Sometimes that's the hardest part.
And having someone sitting around waiting to answer the questions. And this is just alone is going to give us such great humorous content of just like stupid questions or questions gone bad. But
yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's cool. When I looked at this, I thought this was Google Help within Google itself, because I know they've been stepping up their customer service. I actually had a problem with a domain I was managing, and I called the phone number, and I got someone on the phone, and they totally helped me and solved the problem in like five minutes. It was great.
Wow.
But, yeah, I know, that's, right? But then I looked at it this deeper and saw like, no, this is about like random topics, and that's really kind of cool. So I don't know if I'd use it, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I've seen other services. I think there's one service, and this is totally on the low end of the spectrum, but I think it's called Fiverr, where it's like all these people post up, like, what can you get for $5? And Chad's, again, raising his hands in the air because he's apparently very excited about Fiverr.
I bought a few things on Fiverr. Let me tell you.
So I'm really curious. I know this is a tangent, but I'm really curious. What did you get?
In fact, keep talking about the service, and I'm going to log in and see if I can show you what I bought.
Well, so basically Fiverr is this thing where you go on and you say, I'm really good at creating art, or, you know, creating digital art. Yeah. So for $5, I will create, you know, a thumbnail or an icon for you or whatever. And they kind of all bid themselves out for work. And I just don't understand how that's worth it at $5 to them. But
me neither. The only way that I can tell that this is huge is that they do a lot of quantity. So what I did was I thought it'd be a hilarious prank to do this. So here, I'm trying to freaking find, what I can do. So here's one. This was, I had some friends joining a tournament, and so, the name.
Minecraft tournament, chat.
A Minecraft tournament.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And so their name was Musclecraft Phoenix. So this was one of the things that I bought off of Fiverr. This was, I think, from Crazy Funny Guy. Bought off Fiverr. My own $5 went to pay for this man to wear a weird thing and dance around.
Now, did he offer to wear a grass skirt and dance and
give
the name? Or did you say, no, I want you to strip down to a grass skirt and...
Muscle.
Anyway, that's really awkward.
This is awful.
So this guy, no, that's what this guy does. So his name is Funny Mad, and you can
see
that's
just what he does.
All of the things, that he does, basically. Oh,
okay, so maybe Google Helpouts is a little different.
Escalated quickly. I didn't think you would expect it that way.
I'm pretty sure Helpouts is a good option. I know. I'm kind of floored. Well, there you go. There's a.
this is very awkward now.
Email?
This
is,
Yeah, Google Help Out's probably not doing that.
Well, then.
What's on the email?
So we got an email from Peter in LaGrangeville, New York, who wrote in and said, I got to wipe that from my memory. Peter says, hey, All About Android gang. I really like the show. I listen to it every week. I'm looking for suggestions on how to remotely help my parents when they have issues with their Android tablet. I got them a tablet at the end of last year. It's a Nexus 10 based on a recommendation from you guys, and it generally has worked out well. They really like it. However, occasionally they get into problems, and I'm the default technical support person, but I find it hard to help over the phone, especially since I do not have the same tablet, so I don't always know what they are seeing. It can be somewhat frustrating trying to describe what to do verbally since touchscreen interfaces are so visual. Do you know of any tools that can help with this sort of support? It would be a big help to see their tablet screen remotely, though I'm open to any suggestions on how to make remote support easier. And so now, yeah, Jason has researched this.
I did some poking around because I know this question has come up here and there.
Well, before you give the actual answers, I'll give you what I've done in the past with my parents or siblings or whatever, where I get on Skype with them, and then I have them hold their tablet up, and I go, okay, no, to the right, left. And it's incredibly frustrating. So if you have a better solution, I would like to hear it.
Well, that sounds frustrating. Ron A., the other Ron, have you ever encountered this kind of thing? Is this a question that's ever come up for you? And
sure, yeah, but no, I've only ever had the video chat thing.
So, I mean, I looked into it, and I won't say that there's like an obvious no-brainer solution. And I think that on some level, it sounds like Android as a platform kind of blocks this unless third-party someone like Samsung comes along and builds it into their code for, you know, their TouchWiz devices or whatever. So along that line, so this is a Nexus 10 tablet that he's talking about. One of the solutions was TeamViewer QS. The problem there, though, is that this really specifically only works for Samsung hardware. Yay, Nexus 10, that's great. But running the TouchWiz code.
So it's got to be a Samsung tablet. So it's
right. Exactly. Samsung lets you get a video feed.
Right.
Exactly. So Samsung gives you those kind of, you know, allows you to reach in and pull that feed. So if you have certain Samsung devices, something like this would do just that and allow you to control it from your computer. But that doesn't work for them.
That is awesome.
What's that?
That is awesome. I use TeamViewer for everything. I have TeamViewer on my phone right now, but I didn't know it could pull it down from a tablet.
Yeah, and this is a very specific version of TeamViewer. It's called TeamViewer QS, so look that up in the Play Store, and that should give you what you need to do that. It doesn't help Peter, but there is another pretty geeky way to do this. VMLite VNC Server is an app that you can get in the Play Store. This is an app that actually works on rooted and non-rooted Android devices. If you're rooted, you can get control pretty easily. I'm having a sneaking suspicion that this Nexus 10 is probably not rooted.
I would say.
So
that's a safe assumption, I think.
Yes. Yeah. For non-rooted devices, and this is where it gets really geeky. This is where it becomes like, this probably isn't even a solution right here. Every time after turning the device completely off and on, you have to connect that device to a Windows PC or a Mac with a USB cable. And then you run a desktop program to start the server on your device. So you start it manually using that. If they're comfortable doing that, then it sounds like this might actually do what you're looking for. If that's even beyond the scope of their technical abilities, which I haven't ran the app, so I don't know how complicated. If it's like a big red or a green button that you just plug it in, you hit the green button and go, maybe it's good. You know, at least that's what my parents would require. So I don't know if that helps, but there's a couple of
Skype or Google Hangouts.
Ideas.
Hold the tablet up to the camera, Ma.
Yeah. That might be.
But also the problem with that is that it's incredibly difficult for them to use the tablet when they're holding it facing you.
Like, yes, exactly. Oh, man, that sounds like not fun at all.
Anyway.
Not sure we have a wonderful solution
but
for you.
If anybody if anybody out there has a solution that's working for you or some sort of thing, write in, let us know, and then we'll share it on the show. So.
Absolutely. AAA@twit.tv. All right. Let's thank our first sponsor of today's episode, Lookout. We've talked about Lookout so many times on the show before they were ever a sponsor. We love Lookout. If you care about your Android phone or your tablet, the information on it, Lookout's protection is a must. They have the world's largest mobile threat data set, and they use it to tackle all kinds of mobile security issues, from identifying new threats to finding lost phones, fighting cybercrime. They just have a number of features. And actually on Android, you can get things like automatic protection from malware, adware, and spyware. The best Find My Phone solution on the market, including things like LockCam, which protects your phone and tablet from prying eyes. You get an email with the picture of location of anyone who incorrectly enters the passcode on your device three times. That's pretty cool. Signal Flare. If you can't locate your phone and your battery is getting low, Signal Flare is a feature that actually emails the location of your phone when your battery hits that low point. So you have a much better idea of kind of the area that your phone might be in once that battery does die. Contact Backup and Restore, Lookout Premium. All these features are pretty darn useful. If Lookout Premium is $2.99 per month or $29.99 per year, and for that extra premium account, you get things like picture backup and restore, safe browsing so you can surf safely, knowing that every site you visit, including links from emails, texts, and even Facebook, are all safe. A improved kind of pumped up version of Find My Phone with remote lock and obviously that's very helpful if you think your phone ended up in the wrong hands. Privacy Advisor, so you can see and manage all the apps that access personal information, such as your location, contacts, all that sensitive information. Lookout just offers a number of really great security features for your device. So here's what you can do. Lookout offers these on Android, obviously, as well as iOS, the Amazon Kindle Fire. They worry about security, so you don't have to. So visit lookout.com/AAA, and you can learn much more there and get the free download. That's lookout.com/AAA. And we thank Lookout for their support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. Thank you, Lookout. All right. Now that we're secure, let's jump into hardware.
I only jump into hardware when I'm secure.
Yes.
Yeah. So that, I think, really, thing. That was nice. That was, yeah. All right. So so we are at that time of year. It is the announcements and things to look forward
fast
to.
And
we've heard so much stuff from Samsung and from HTC and folks like that. By the way, I saw the Robert Downey Jr. commercial, the HTC Robert Downey Jr. commercial last week.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I lived. I think it was on mute. I think I just saw him and him running around and then doing other words that start with HTC. But he's definitely playing off the Tony Stark persona.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, clearly. But anyway. So Sony's not going to be left behind in the game of making announcements. And Sony's September 4th event that's coming up is a tease of a new flagship smartphone. During the IFA conference in Berlin, that will be the place most likely that we'll get the scoop on and a glimpse at Sony's often rumored follow-up to the Sony Xperia 7 phone, codenamed Honami. Mm-hmm. Like Konami with an H. Hmm. Honami. The rumored specs are that this is going to include a 20-megapixel camera, and there's been lots of talk about lens cameras that can attach to the Android phones, turning them into high-end point-and-shoots. So that is very curious. What do we think of that?
I don't know. Sony's this is where I realized I was here like a year or two ago with LG, but Sony, for me personally, it becomes very hard for me to get super excited about the Sony phones because I haven't seen many of them. Having said that, I spent some time with the Xperia Z tablet a couple of weeks ago and really liked the tablet. The interface, the OS the skin changes on it. I'm not a huge fan of it, but the hardware was pretty darn cool. What do you think about this, Ron? How does this strike you?
I have signed things and have no comment.
Well then, this gets interesting. Well then, let's talk a little more about some more details around the rumors, and then maybe Ron can nod or do some sort of head tilt when we say something.
I have a feeling Ron is not going to say anything.
We would never want to break an NDA, so Ron can plead the fifth on this one. But honestly, I'm not surprised by Sony needs to differentiate in the market. They've built up a great platform around their cameras. That Sony and the NX cameras are fantastic. They're great. I got one of those and gave it to my sister, and she takes these amazing shots with it, the removable lenses and things like that. So I'm not too surprised by this. I know, remember, we joked about the Samsung phone with the lens. It wasn't a detachable lens, but it was a lens attached to it to make it a point and shoot. So if they can figure out a way to do that well and make it a good point and shoot and also be a phone, then that could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen...
Can I ask, what would you pay for a little clip-on lens thing?
Well, then.
Oh, man. That's a...
Paying for the lens? So basically, how much is a lens? Is your
Yeah, but so these lenses, from what I understand... They're separate attachments, sync up with your device. They're basically a higher end camera in a lens.
Yeah.
Yes, that you can kind of attach and sync to your phone.
I'd pay $200, maybe $199.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I was really into photography, sure.
That's interesting. Okay.
I like Ron.
I'm not sure I would pay to be honest for that. And I'm not entirely sure why. I think it's the whole having to have another thing with me at all times.
That's the problem.
Yeah, me just
why bother when point and shoots are out there? I mean, what is the big difference?
Yeah, and not to mention, like, I wouldn't necessarily say that Android phones by and large have amazing cameras, but more often than not, I get the picture that I'm hoping to get.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm not expecting to take a picture and to blow it up to wall size, you know, to a wall size printout and have it look amazing. It's that old saying, the best camera you have is the one that you have with you, or
it's the one you're using.
Yeah, it's the one you're using. So, I mean, if you have a camera in your pocket, that's good enough. I'm probably not going to carry a camera attachment in my pocket, too.
But that said, there are a lot of people who spend a lot of money on photography.
Yeah.
There are a lot of these Instagram photographers and all these kind of mobile photographers. And I mean, we've talked to them. We've had them on shows. We've interacted with them. I got to believe that there's a market for people who do that just because it's not us. I don't know.
There it is.
You know, yeah. That looks wacky. I love it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
If we had a hardware Android arena, you'd come to it with that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to apps.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one thing.
Honami. Just forget that.
Honami.
Yeah.
The Honami code.
Honami.
Samsung Executive VP of Mobile Lee Young-hee teased the upcoming Unpacked event scheduled for September 4th as well, at IFA in Berlin. Here's what she had to say to the Korea Times. We will be introducing a new wearable concept device called Galaxy Gear at our own event in Berlin on September 4th. The Gear won't have a flexible display. The new device will enhance and enrich the current smart mobile experience in many ways. It will lead to a new trend in smart mobile communications. We are confident that the Gear will add meaningful momentum to the mobile industry. She also apparently confirmed the Galaxy Note 3 would debut at the event.
Wait to take the steam out of your announcements, by the way. Like, wait to be like, listen, we've got this thing coming up. I'm going to tell you what it is, but it's going to be awesome. Like, just like, why would you do that? I mean, I understand stuff leaked and they wanted to adjust expectations, I guess.
Right.
I mean, do you think that's why? I mean,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the rumor mill was constantly like, oh, it's going to have flexible OLED. So, you know, you would think it would be like a whole, like all the way around your wrist kind of computer bracer thing. And, you know, if you expected that and went to the event and saw a square brick, you'd be pretty disappointed. But, I mean, it seems so credible because Samsung has said flexible OLED is coming out in 2013 and we're 8 months in and where is it?
Yeah. Flexible OLED would be worth that. I mean, like, and
it would be interesting.
It sounds like it's probably going to be a square brick on a strap. It's going to be a Pebble-esque Sony smartwatch-esque kind of thing. So now
I'm
so
excited for this wearable stuff, though. It's going to be so neat to have a little computer watch. I don't know if I want a square brick, but like flexible OLED, I'm down with that.
Well, we were talking before the show. I got to play with a Pebble over the weekend finally after seeing it on people's arms and not really touching it, but like actually saw somebody telling me about their practical use, and now I kind of want one. But it seems like I need to wait till September 4th and at least see what this looks like. Although if it's a Samsung, is it going to be all Samsung,
yeah, right.
You're tricked out.
Yeah, Samsung proprietary, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is a piece of junk I got at CES. This is an iMWatch.
I heard about the iMWatch.
Yeah.
But it's like $400. It runs Android 2.2, and it's like got a little touchscreen on it.
Yeah.
But you know, all of this, the mark of a good smartwatch will be if it requires Android 4.3, because that came with notification APIs. So you will actually be able to sync notifications properly.
Right.
Because the iWatch does a horrible job. It's like, okay, you want Gmail notifications? We're going to sign in to under a POP account and pull down emails every 5 minutes.
And
that's how all of them work. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But 4.3, you'll be able to ship out notifications over Bluetooth, and it'll be like super awesome.
Well, that's the question, is that do these watches exist on their own, or do they have to work in concert with another device? I mean, mainly...
Well, she said it'd be a companion thing. It was like, it'll enhance your smartphone and all that other crap. I actually covered, an Omate something that was like a standalone watch device, and it's on Kickstarter. And like, you look at the motherboard, and it has like a SIM card, and it takes up half the motherboard just from a SIM card. Because think about how big that is. It's insane.
Yeah.
And you'd have 1 second of battery life.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part of this too. I think a lot of people are looking at this wearable stuff, and they're saying, you know, particularly in watches, and they're saying, well, all we've seen so far are companion pieces. We want something standalone. Yeah. But there's a lot that kind of comes in, you know, on the negative on something like that. You do want your watch to be small, more or less. You don't want to be wearing a tablet on your wrist necessarily, or something, you know, that's really big to give you that extra battery life, particularly if it has a cell radio inside. Is that really what you want? Like, you may think that you want that, but what you want is the capability of making calls with it. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to have the cell functionality in there. But, I mean, maybe, you know, obviously some people do want that. I just don't know.
Scroll down on that page and look at the motherboard shot. It's insane. It's like a SIM card is such a waste of space. There's no way. Is that the Kickstarter page? Oh,
yeah, no, this is the video about it. Yeah, but good timing, though.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Look at that.
Like, yeah, that's crazy. There's no way you're going to fit anything when you have half the space taken up by an SD card and a SIM slot. It's
no kidding.
Wow.
The funny thing is that has a camera on it, and it kind of faces it's where like a watch dial would be, so it's kind of like a reverse like Spider-Man web shooter thing. It like aims out at your hand to take pictures. It's crazy.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. My automatic like knee-jerk reaction on this is, okay, another one of those kind of watches. I'm not going to see anything.
I mean, that's like the Pebble is that as well too. And if anything, what the Pebble has going against it is that the display is just so boring in terms of it being ink and that sort of thing. You know, so if the Samsung one is color and actually pretty cool, and it pairs with an Android device, and it's not all Samsungified, I might consider it. So I'm keeping an eye on this one.
Cool.
So, but the teasing doesn't stop there. LG got in the game. And LG released a new YouTube video teasing LG's first entry into tablets in over 2 years.
I mean, it's really just a tease.
It's totally just a tease. The G-Pad 8.3, and really all you get is a bunch of people talking about it. We're going to look at the video here now. But they actually call it teaser film, so they're not being...
Yeah, totally. I mean, pretty much the only indication of anything specific is at the very end where they say the G-Pad 8.3. So basically they're setting it up saying, all these people hate all these things about tablets, they like these things about a tablet that they would like to get, and then, you know, it's
well, and I think it's interesting if you analyze the video to see what they're talking about and then compare what they believe they've done to make the G-Pad just right for you. You know, like, it's awkward, it's too big, it doesn't connect to my stuff, whatever. So I'll be curious to figure out how LG solved the tablet crisis.
Has anyone seen the skin on a G2? They're going to have even more space to commit whatever kind of UX crimes they've come up with. Stay away.
Exactly.
So.
Now, I'm at least... There's a soft place in my heart for this next one. And actually, Ron, you're the perfect person to talk about it, because what do you know? I have your article here from Ars Technica. Motorola possibly bringing back the slide-out QWERTY keyboard on the Droid?
Yes, there are pictures from China of a Droid 5. And it's, you know, just like the old-school original Droid. It's, you know, slide-up QWERTY keyboard, 5 rows. It has, you know, numbers along the top. It's neat, but the one screen down there says it has Razer HD insides, which is going to be like super old by the time this thing comes out. It's going to be another crappy mid-range Verizon phone. You know, it's cool that there's a keyboard and all, but it's not going to be a high-end phone.
Yeah, I wonder if there will be another high-end slide-out phone. Like, I don't know. It seems like the masses have moved to touchscreen, and slide-out gets pushed further and further into obscurity.
I would be really impressed if, like, a cutting edge, this is the phone, has a slide-out.
And suddenly everybody's all really.
Unless it's a roll-out flexible kind of keyboard type thing.
Right.
Like, right? That, like, you know, it's like a window shade that you pull down or whatever, and you can, you know.
Like, right? The way you think. That sounds cool. Awesome. So. Yeah. You just pull it down and let it roll back up. Yeah. Excellent.
The thing is, though, if you look at the two droids that just came out on Verizon, this is probably more of Motorola fulfilling the last of their Verizon contract.
Totally.
Junk. And their heart's just not in it. So,
oh, no, it's so true. I completely agree. That's a perfect way to put it. They're just kind of like, I don't know. Let's give them the rest of the, that's lying around. Let's just do that. We'll package that up. We'll just put it out.
We got some of those.
Like,
left,
oh, it's Motorola. Yeah, whatever. It's so true. Could you imagine, like, the Google Motorola a year from now coming out with a slide out QWERTY keyboard, successor to the Droid? I just don't see it happening.
No, neither do I. All right. What I do see happening is that Google following up on some Nexus 7 issues that we talked about this a couple of weeks back. Google is pushing out an update to Nexus 7 users that will fix issues such as touchscreen errors and GPS signal loss. This update should be the JSS15Q update will solve both of those issues for you. And I literally just got the update right before we started the show. I was not running into GPS issues because I don't use my Nexus 7 as a GPS device. Mm-hmm. But I was running into touchscreen issues that they were describing. So I'll be curious to see if this is what fixes it. So, yep.
Excellent. Well, that was very timely. You literally sat down and was like, hey.
It was
okay.
Literally timely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly
I'll do
right.
that.
Yep.
Let's check out another email here. This is actually a response to some of the stuff we were talking about last week with CyanogenMod. Some of the changes that CyanogenMod has been making over the past few months. Donnie writes in to say, why does CyanogenMod provide these additional services that may mimic official Google services and otherwise seem outside of the scope of the project? The answer is quite simple. Yes, there's this DIY open source ethos. Yes, there's this little one-upsmanship. Yes, they have a large platform that caters to the needs of a lot of people, but that's not it. Not everyone uses Android and Google services on top. Early on in the CyanogenMod community, the Google applications were included directly into the ROM. Google, not liking this, sent a cease and desist letter and could have killed CyanogenMod in its infancy. After talking it out, CyanogenMod survived, and that's why we now have to flash gapps separately, which you do have to do when you flash CyanogenMod. Those Google apps aren't just in there when you flash that ROM. You have to install it separately. Google has overseen the project from afar and steps in whenever things aren't to their liking. And so the community is leery of relying fundamentally on any closed source resources for that very reason. That's the reason for Apollo, which is, you know, the stock AOSP doesn't actually include a modern music player because of Google Music. So CyanogenMod developed Apollo, which is a music player, which I never use, but it's there so that when you install CyanogenMod, it's available to you to play music right out of the virtual box. Fundamentally, that's the reason for CyanogenMod accounts. The less reliance CyanogenMod has on Google's infrastructure, the less likely they can be completely cut off by Google. I thought it was a great point, really well written.
That's good.
Yeah.
If you remember, after that happened, after they said you can't put gapps in CyanogenMod anymore, the idea that CyanogenMod was to come up with was, let's, you know, clone all of the Google apps.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if a bunch of, no offense, but if a bunch of, like, amateur developers can do that, like guys that are just doing it as a hobby, then Google realized, hey, big companies could do that too. You know, Amazon could do that and all that stuff. And now you see stuff like Google Play Services that does, you know, play games is kind of like woven into, at least they want you to weave that in everybody's apps. And they want to do app data backup and all this other stuff. Like, Google's gone on this big ecosystem control thing where it's like, we don't just want to control our stuff. We want you to weave our stuff into your apps as well so that it doesn't work on, like, a Kindle.
Yep.
Interesting.
And the thing is, I think the whole Cyanogen and Mod story is going to be like, there could be a book about this in like 5 years about how, you know, this kind of upstart thing came out. And honestly, I think it's keeping Google on their toes, I think, to a certain degree. I think it's good. I mean, in terms of the competition kind of standpoint, whether it's competition or innovation or however you want to call it, but I think it's not a bad thing.
No.
Right?
So, not at all.
Yeah, that's the point of open source. You have, you know, a million different people throwing ideas at the wall. Samsung and CyanogenMod and everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And anybody can take, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody can take CyanogenMod code and kind of spin off their own version of it. CyanogenMod's been very open with how they approach it. That's kind of at the core of open source. So.
Yep.
Love CyanogenMod. I always end up going back. Like, I try other things and then I end up going
every
back.
Every time you try to get out, they pull you back in.
That's true. Let's thank another one of our sponsors for today's episode, 99 Designs. Love these guys. They connect people looking for great graphic design with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers that can help you from all over the world. These are talented graphic designers that know their stuff, and they can do what maybe you can't. What I can't. I know I can't. I'm not very good at graphic design, so I would need 99 Designs to help me with a graphic design project. Whether you need a new logo, mobile app, business card, t-shirt, pretty much any other kind of graphic design, you're going to find the right designer for your project at 99 Designs. And it's a pretty cool process. You tell 99 Designs what you need. Dozens of designers from their community submit designs created just for you. You give those designers your feedback to help them refine their designs, and then you select and pay for your favorite. You say, that's the one that you know, really relates to what I'm trying to do here. You work directly with that designer, and you get that design to work with for yourself. Are you developing an Android app? You can get anything from icons to buttons to your entire mobile app designed at 99 Designs. You can go to their site and check out just a ton of amazing apps that are designed at 99 Designs, just really kind of unique, current-looking layouts that, you know, there's just a ton of different examples there. And this really seems like the perfect, obviously the perfect kind of audience for this kind of service, because I think everybody's had that moment where they say, this would be the best app in the world. It doesn't exist. And that might be all you have. You have an idea, but you don't necessarily have a really good way of translating that into a visual language. 99 Designs is the perfect place to go. Just go there, you know, commission it out, find a bunch of different designers who will send you different ideas. And if one of those speaks to you and your idea, your vision, you've nailed it and you've got somewhere to go. Kind of a launch pad for that. So,
and please, if you're making an app and don't know how to do design, get someone who does.
Yes.
the best device you could ever get, right?
it's probably a good idea for you and the success of your app to actually have it designed well. So that's perfect. 99 Designs will allow you to kind of find those talented designers. You can start your next graphic design project for as low as $199. Visit 99designs.com/AAA. And you get a $99 power pack of services for free. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs. So if this sounds interesting to you, if you've got that amazing app and you want to get it designed, visit 99designs.com/AAA. And we thank 99 Designs for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. Fantastic work. All right. Speaking of apps, let's get into them. Hello, apps. We are in you.
What's the pantomime for getting into apps versus diving into hardware?
I don't know about a pantomime, but if I could design a motion graphic, I think I'd jump into my phone.
I don't think we want any part of this.
Yeah, let's steer clear. So Google Search, an update rolled out, and we have some interesting inclusions into the Google Search app. You know, I have a little laundry list here. Thanks definitely completely to Android Police's APK Teardown, which I'm going to talk more about here in a second. But things like save image results to your phone. So if you do a search and you get an image result, you can actually save it.
Oh, man. Great. I can't tell you how much that's driving me, me crazy. Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad to hear they fixed that.
Actionable.
Yeah.
On those. Ongoing reminders by selecting remind me for things like books, music, TV shows. That seems really, really handy. So you could set
up. Oh, God, reminders.
What's that?
The reminders, there's what, three ways to do reminders now, and they don't all sync up. So there's Keep and Google Now and Calendar. And I think Google Now will work with Keep and Calendar, but Keep doesn't work with Google Now. It'll go one way and not the other way.
It's totally confusing.
Yeah, the chat thing where we had Hangouts and Messages and G Plus Message, they're doing that all over again. They don't get the whole unification thing.
Yeah, you're so right. And we actually do have Google Keep right up here next because they have some more reminder stuff. We'll get to that in a second. But you're totally right. It's getting very confusing to know if I use Google Now for reminders, where exactly is that going? It could go a number of places. New date time pickers for those who really like the ones in the calendar app, which I actually do. I guess some people don't, but
I hate those.
Really? What do you hate about them?
Let's hear it.
It's this. Why is it a circle? Why does it look like a weird, clock nonsense? It doesn't make any sense. No, the good one is in the alarm app where you press buttons and it selectively lights up what you can and cannot push. So if you hit like the first button, I think you can only hit like zero or how time works, how you can't enter just straight up digits.
Right.
And, like AM and PM lights up last. And it's just a keypad. You just punch it in and you're done. And you don't have to deal with a silly clock input.
I know why they do the silly clock input, though, because that's what you think of when you think of time. Right?
I mean, it's skeuomorphic and evil.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Apple, just they're getting away from the skeuomorphic.
It's true.
Are they trading places now?
Yeah, possibly.
Trading places.
Possibly.
Android edition. snooze on reminders, possible custom hot words in the near future, which would be nice instead of saying Google. And finally, hints at the possibility of using a voice hot word at any time after a search to continue searching without always having to go back and, do the command.
Yeah, they figured out how to turn that on. That's cool. So you can just use it. You can use it from the search results, not all the time. All the time would be nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
Moto X does that.
You have to imagine that's kind of somewhere down the line. Seems to be what they're doing, right, with the Moto X, kind of the always listening. But I guess having that dedicated processor attached to that enables
that. Keep you awake forever and kill your battery.
Yeah, very, very much so, kill your battery. So I have to ask, because I know a lot of people are wondering, because you are definitely known for your APK teardowns. During your 2 years or maybe longer at Android Police, will you be continuing doing APK teardowns going forward now that you're at ours?
Yeah, the deal was always I would do them. I just do them for every app, and it either goes on Google Plus or it would go on Android Police, depending on how newsworthy it is. Because you find stuff maybe 1 in 10 times.
Totally.
So. That's still going on. I still post all the results on my Google Plus page, and the really big stuff will just go to Ars Technica instead of Android Police. But I've got competition now. So
I know, right?
Artem's doing them too. I'm surprised it took so long for competition to happen because I've probably been doing this a year and a half.
Yeah, you've been doing it for a while.
And always expect someone else to try. It's cool to see two different perspectives on stuff because a lot of it's interpretation. You see code has changed and why did it change and stuff like that. So it's cool.
Absolutely. I mean, it's almost, it's like this, it's this forensic, reverse engineering aspect of it.
Yeah.
But not only is it the forensic aspect, but then there's also what I always liked about the APK teardowns that you did was the idea of what does this mean and what could this lead to? And then it's that speculation.
Kind of, projecting into the future and interpretation of that.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I
I guess I'm still cool with the Android police guys. Artem messages me all the time.
Oh, I imagine that you would be.
We're all still friends.
Yeah, of course.
Listen, nobody likes it when they're still friends. We want to hear. We want drama. We want drama, falling gossip. Out.
We're a gossip show.
Little snarky kind of digs in your articles about each other. Yeah, that's what you want. That's what gets you readers. So. Anyway,
all right. Well, that's good. We'll definitely be keeping posted for our future APK teardowns because they're always a lot of fun to read. So you always did a great job with those.
Yeah, I love them. They're great. So continuing on with some Google updates, Google Keep, which was just got mentioned a little earlier, got a minor update with some UI changes. There's now a sliding menu there that kind of does the whole slidey thing. But a big thing that's interesting is that they've added two new types of reminders: time based and location based reminders. So as you're using Google Keep to do stuff, you can associate either a specific time or a location, and it will remind you of whatever you need to be reminded of, which is very interesting. This whole location services continuing to say, when I walk into work, make sure I email that guy about this thing, or when I get home, make sure I run the dishwasher, which I can't remember if I did or not. So, in reality. So.
Yeah, I can't remember if you did that either.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. People don't realize that we live together. So it's fascinating. Yeah. His wife is very upset about it.
I love the simplicity of Keep. But it's really hard for me to remember to use it because I'm so locked into the Evernote thing. Even though on some levels
you can't remember to use the reminder app.
I need to set myself a reminder to use Google Keep, a daily reminder. Yeah. And one thing that I wish that it would have, and it just doesn't, is it. I know it has voice entry. I want it to have voice recording. I want to be able to record an audio file.
Right.
That's how I use Evernote the most. Right. And anytime I try to do that with Keep, it just tries to turn it into text. And
But it also has a little playback thing under that.
But does it keep that? Does it keep it?
Yeah.
Then I've missed that. Because when I used it early on, I tested that out, and it would not do anything with that. It would just like interpret it into text. I'm like, no, I just need the audio file. Right. I want the audio file later. If it's doing that, then I might end up starting to use it.
I'm
so locked into Evernote.
Yeah, that's the thing. I never even gave it time of day because of Evernote. You know, and I'm so locked into Google and Google Drive. You think Keep would be the perfect kind of add-on to Google Drive, but I'm so locked into Evernote, I can't break it. I can't break free. So
Keep needs folders.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it can get a little chaotic in there. Yeah. And finally, SwiftKey Cloud, and I think we mentioned that it was coming. Just to, so you know, it's left beta. It's now officially available, and it's great. If you're a SwiftKey user, basically, it takes all of the learning that it's done around your typing and predictions and all that, and associates it with your Google Plus sign-in. And that's just, it's a no-brainer, especially if you have multiple devices, because it syncs it across your devices and everything. And you know, and if you're a flasher of ROMs regularly, you're starting over from square one with apps like this. Now you're not, and that's just a big, you know.
Which is great. I mean, that's the cloud working for you. You know what I mean? Which is so sounded so marketing. I'm sorry.
What can the cloud do for you?
Yeah, not so much. But yeah, you keep being a ROM flasher. That sounds slightly dirty.
Yeah, there's just. Hey, do we have a sponsor?
We do have a sponsor, yes. We want to thank Ting for sponsoring that episode. And you might be asking yourself, what is Ting? Well, Ting is a no BS mobile service. Ting is an MVNO reseller of the nationwide Sprint network. So they've got the backing of a great, huge network, but they're a little different. They have no contracts or ETFs, truly and completely contract free, no early termination fees or any other BS. They've got no bundling or ride-along services. You can choose from extra small to extra, extra large service levels for voice minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data, all billed separately. You can find the plan that fits your needs perfectly, and then therefore you've got the mobile plan that makes you happy to have a mobile plan, which is what we're all pursuing. They've got no overage charges or penalties. If you use more than you thought you would, you just pay for what you used. They've got no add-on charges. Voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way calling, call forwarding, and other features are all part of the service. No add-on charges. No mysterious line items on the bill. Ting charges you for what you use, plus whatever taxes they're legally required to collect. No hidden charges, recovery fees, or any other BS. You get unlimited devices all in one plan. Have as many devices as you want, sharing pooled minutes, messages, and megabytes. Each device on a plan costs a flat $6 per month. And additionally, they've got a powerful online account control panel where you can take control of your account, your usage, and your bills all in one place. No hold customer support. If you got a problem, you can call them at 1-855-TING-FTW anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and a actual real person will pick up the phone. But if you don't want to talk to anybody, that's okay. You can go online and get their amazing online support. Help.ting.com has active customer forums and a simple and powerful help ticketing system, along with video tutorials, video startup guides, and much, much more. So it's real simple, real easy to get started. Purchase your mobile device from Ting, which you'll receive in 2 to 5 business days. Then activate your device with Ting and have the option to select a new phone number or port an existing one. Ting will then break out your rates out by minutes, text messages, and megabytes, and bill you at the end of the month for what you've used. It's that easy. It's that simple. It's a no-brainer phone option for your service. And given all the hidden fees and contracts and things like that we see from the other carriers, Ting just makes it so easy and makes you actually pay a mobile plan that you can afford. So go to allaboutandroid.ting.com. You can save money and better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out their savings calculator, and you can see how much money you or your company can save. And this is what's great. You're watching All About Android. You're one of our loyal audience members. You can save $25 on your first Ting device when you sign up. So go to allaboutandroid.ting.com and start saving today.
Boom. Ting. Excellent. You're awesome. Thank you, guys, for sponsoring All About Android. All right. Without further ado, let's show off some apps in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Yes, and so last week we had 4 apps in the arena, and Twilight came out on top, 48%.
Shocking. Yep, we thought I had it with Habit RPG.
You never know.
You never
the
know.
The early returns, you just never know where they're going to end up.
The very simple, effective app that Twilight is,
yeah,
totally struck a chord with the downloading and the non-live audience.
Yeah, a lot of people looking at their devices late at night, apparently, and want more sleep.
That's for sure.
I know I want more sleep. Can you tell?
We all want more sleep.
Yeah. 48% for Twilight. Habit RPG, 25%. Second place, Drop Chord, which was mine, third place at 18%, and then Portal at 9%. Okay, so let's see here. We have a bunch of new apps to talk about. I lost out of all the people that were here last week, so I'll go ahead and go first. And mine is, it's a pretty straightforward but well-designed, I would say, app. It is called Timely. And it is an alarm clock app, so you search for Timely Alarm Clock in the Play Store. You should find it. I have it on my Galaxy Nexus here, and I will show it off on the tablet here in a few minutes as well, because it has a nice layout for the tablet as well. But there it is, Timely. Essentially, what this is all about is it gives you kind of a new style, a new interface for setting an alarm, right? If you swipe from the left, you get this little bar, and depending on where your finger is, right, it kind of swipes around it. Little design touches like that are awesome, because it doesn't matter. They're actually thinking about you when they design this app. You swipe up to or down to kind of set the time that you want it to go off. It's 6:30. Let's set it for 7. Boom. There we go. You can make fine-tuned adjustments if you want. Hit done. And 18 minutes from now, the alarm is set. You can obviously make changes to the music and everything there as well. If I swipe over, you see just the regular kind of clock layout, and you can change all of the themes in here. You have the ability to kind of select different watch faces and all that kind of stuff. If, there's a little unlock there, I'll go ahead and go through. And some of these you have to pay for extra if you want access to them, which probably means that they're going to add more overtime as well. So that kind of helps you to, even more so customize your clock app. And then over here on the right, if we swipe over, I have the timer, which I just really like the look of the interface here. Do you know? Just went off. I have a show to do. So there you go. There's also this, which is a stopwatch, which is a counting up capability. And, it's a nice looking app. There is a free version. Obviously, you can see an ad down at the bottom there, which is really less of an ad and more of a, hey, why don't you upgrade? But
it might be an ad.
Yes.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Safely assume it'll probably eventually be an ad at some point. So you can get the free version, which is ad-supported, which is pretty, you know, non-invasive for the most part. It's just down there in the bottom. There is a 99-cent remove ad upgrade, and then there's also a $3.99 in-app purchase, which, man, I did some searching around. I haven't bought the in-app purchase. I'm probably going to because I really like this app. Probably should have done it before the show. I'm not really quite sure what that extra amount for the premium version gets you. They don't say on the site, or at least I couldn't find it on the site. I searched for it and couldn't find it there. What are some other things here? It's designed for a tablet as well, so I'll just show that off real quick. And also let you know that it does have the ability to synchronize through the cloud across devices, so you can manage and synchronize your alarms across multiple devices.
Question about that.
What's up?
When I first read about Timely, I had this like string of assumptions. I'm like, okay, it's going to sync all of my alarms. So if I set an alarm, it's going to go to all of my devices and go off on all of my devices. And sync takes anywhere between 10 seconds to a few minutes. So do I have to like hunt down every single Android device I have?
Yeah, no kidding. That's a really good question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that because I didn't sync any alarms between them. But that is a fantastic question. And actually, now that I'm looking through the settings, I'm realizing that sync might be...
Is that Pro?
That might be one of the premium features because I'm not really finding settings in here in order to do that. Oh, sorry. There we go. Okay, so... but that's a great question. I hope it's nothing like that because then it really makes sure that you get out of bed.
It's got to be smart enough, yeah.
But true, good point. So there we go. It's a full kind of tablet
app. It's a pretty app. Look at that.
Yeah, it's really, really pretty is a great word for it because it has all the color gradients and everything. And just a lot of themes right out of the box that you can kind of download and install as well. So. And, you know, I like that they actually spent some time thinking about what the design for the tablet app would be as opposed to on the phone. See more and more of that, and that's great for the tablet landscape on Android. So
here we go. Here we go.
What's up?
According to their website at bitspin.ch,
thank you,
two are better than one, especially when you have to get up. We synchronize your alarms across all devices. This makes sure that you really hear the alarm. If one of them fails, it doesn't matter. Turning off an alarm magically affects all the other devices. It just makes sense. You don't have to touch your tablet in your stand. Just use your phone to set an alarm there. If you choose to enable it on multiple devices, the alarm plays in perfect sync. Everything gets backed up, all your alarms, all your devices, all the time. And Chad, why did I get applause there? So, Chad, I just gave the links in the chat room so you can show everybody that. I don't know how they can confirm perfect sync. Scroll down a little more. There it is. Perfect sync.
Perfect.
No, I can tell you right now, it's going to use cloud to device message sync, you know, Google's thing, and no, it's not. It is not real time at all.
I am purchasing it right now. I'm curious.
If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, Chad, can you do that again? Is this a tag cloud down at the bottom? I haven't seen one of these in ages. Wait, there's even more. Widget, Google Now integration, adaptive snoozing, recurring alarms, awesome animations, fading. What's fading? Fading, length, smooth, experience. It's just a tag cloud. Like, what the?
Yeah, but it's not clickable
SEO.
Tag cloud. Yeah. It's an image, actually, so it's not SEO.
Oh, it's an image. It's not even text.
There you go.
These people. This is great.
All right.
Yeah, so that's sync. Are we going to try to do a live sync?
Well, I might as well. So I just downloaded it. How about this? Ron Richards.
Okay. Jason Howell.
Because I have to show off Ron Amadio's app. So, but I'm going to work on this. You show off your app, and I'll see if I can get something synced, and we'll see how this goes.
But pay attention, because you're going to like this, too. So if if you remember, I don't even remember what it was, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, it was months ago. I believe there was an Indiegogo campaign or a Kickstarter campaign for a new app for a new keyboard called Minuum.
Minuum.
There you go. I can't say Minuum. Whatever that campaign was completed, the app was released last week. I immediately downloaded it to play with it. And I've been a loyal SwiftKey user. Before that, I was a loyal Swipe user. And Minuum might have me switching. It's just honestly, they delivered on what they promised. So I've got it here in the app, and I wanted to show a couple of things. First off, the design is really top, is really, really good. It's a really top kind of design, very clean, very easy to get it set up with. They call it the little keyboard for big fingers, and I got big old fat fingers, so I kind of immediately resonated. But it had one of the smoothest keyboard setup process I've seen yet. Wow, excuse me. It's okay. For anybody who's for anybody who's ever switched their keyboard, you know it can be a hassle. You've got to go into settings, you've got to go back, and all those sort of things. And I feel like Swipe and SwiftKey have always done their best, or their best attempt to try to make it easy. Minuum figured it out. When you launch the app for the first time, it gives you this screen, and I've already done the first two steps, so I can't really do it again. But the first one is just enable Minuum, and it's a link, it's a shortcut to the keyboards in your settings. And before it goes there, it says, don't forget to hit back right. when you're done with this. Yeah. So they do that. So
if he does that.
Then yeah. when you go back, it says set default keyboard, and you hit that, and it loads up the pop-up, and you set your default keyboard, and that pop-up closes. And then you says start typing. Simple, easy. Now, what makes this so interesting? Again, they've got one of the most interesting tutorials, which is great. And that's what I wanted to use to show you guys how to use it. They actually, this is the first keyboard app that encourages sloppy typing. I've made more mistakes and gotten it right without having to correct by using this keyboard than any other keyboard I've ever used. So, Chad, if you go down to the if you can zoom in here, this is what the keyboard looks like. It takes a little bit to get used to. But it's one little line here along the bottom. And what it is it's basically a condensed QWERTY keyboard. You can change, and I'll get into the settings in a little bit, but you can change the layout of this. So if you prefer an AZERTY keyboard or an alphabetical keyboard or whatever, you can do that. But basically, as long as you are somewhere in the neighborhood, it seems to be able to get it more so than swiping or anything like that. So so here, I'll show you. I'll just use it, and we can see how it works. So I'm going to type I'm just figuring out that. So I'm just going to go, all right, hello. Part of the challenge is finding where the letters are. But once you get used to where the letters are placed, nearly every time it's accurate with what I'm typing. I don't know how they're doing it. They use gestures for things like enter or space or whatnot. So in for a space, I can just swipe left and it does a space. So I'll say this is a test. All right. And if I want a period or an exclamation point, I swipe twice. And then it gives me this little bar up here to choose whether I want an exclamation point, a period, a comma, or a question mark. It's really, really interesting. Now, if you want to be more precise, you can do that. All you got to do is tap and hold down, and it comes up with a little thing where you can choose from. So that's possible. And also, if we go up here, they've got different keyboard modes that you can adjust. So I hit the shift key, and if I shift and hold, I can choose between numbers or settings, or I can go to a full-size keyboard, or I can go to voice commands. The full-size keyboard, if for some reason I want to access that, all I've got to do is press and hold it, and the full-size keyboard shows up, and I can just use that like normal. So Minuum is a different way to approach keyboards, man. It's really interesting. Now here's the thing in terms of using it. I've only been using it for a short period of time. There is a learning curve. Until you are comfortable with where the keys are located, it does take longer to type.
Yeah.
That said, the more comfortable you get in it, like I said, I get little to no misspellings at all. They've really come up with a great, interesting algorithm to do that. In that time period, I do not advise texting while you're driving. That is bad because you're spending a lot of time looking, you know.
Yeah. In general, don't do that.
In general, yeah. The other thing is that if you are used to swiping, it's amazing how much muscle memory I built up in the past couple of years with swiping. In using this keyboard, my first instinct was to connect the dots, mm-hmm. and this doesn't have that.
That would be interesting because all you're doing is going back.
Yeah, all you're doing is going back and forth. Yeah, exactly. but that said, it's cool. I mean, it works really well. It's got a great combination of gestures and picking up on what the right word is at the right time. I was skeptical when we saw the first video because we remember we laughed at how it's just one flat line. Mm-hmm. But on my phone, it takes up much less space now. The keyboard, you know how the keyboard takes up half the screen on the phone? Now it just takes that one line. I can see more in what I'm doing. As long as you can find it, find the appropriate key, you can pretty much make it work for you. So if I go back to the settings here, I can show you some of the things that you can change. You can add a space bar. If you, for example, if you don't like the idea of swiping for space bar, you can add one. You turn on or off learning as you type, turn on or off haptic feedback. You can select the layout, whether you want QWERTY or AZERTY or an alphabetical keyboard. You can choose whether you want to show lowercase. You can import your dictionary or your contacts. It allows you to back up your data, so if you move it over. And you can also adjust the heights. So, like, for example, I've got fat fingers, and so I might want to make the keyboard a little higher to make it be able to tap a little better. It's all kind of adjustable. You can have a transparent keyboard or not. It's really, really it's impressive. So Minuum, they delivered on the promise. So if you had chipped into their Kickstarter or whatnot, then you should be pretty happy.
So you're sticking with Minuum.
I'm going to stick with Minuum for a while. Admittedly, I did switch back to SwiftKey while I was driving up here because I had to do email while I was sitting in traffic and I didn't want to take any chances, but I was stopped. I was in standstill traffic.
It was that kind of traffic.
Interesting because the reason we have QWERTY is because of typewriters.
Yes.
And the idea is that none of the commonly used letters are next to each other. So in theory, you know, that should work because you're going to be hitting something, but everything in that area, you know, shouldn't be used together often.
Yeah.
So it should be able to hit like what letter you need.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. Clearly it's doing it right because I've been using it for a couple of days now, and I've noticed much less typos, whereas SwiftKey drives me crazy with the typos and the changes. So, yeah. So there you go, Minuum. And it's $3.99 in the Google Play Store. I think it's worth every penny. So check it out.
All right. We're ready to test this.
All right.
I've got it.
Waiting for it to go off at any given time.
Okay, yeah. 6:51 p.m. Okay. So we're at 6:52. Let's see here. It's 8. They just went off at the same time.
Wow.
Now dismiss one.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
So,
all right, so now.
Snooze one.
I'll go ahead and snooze. Did I even hit it?
I didn't.
I see. There we go. All right, snooze.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you set that, and then it went off. Like, that was pretty fast.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was kind of working with it while you were doing the app, and it, you know, I would make one. I mean, I could even do it right now. I'll show you right now. If you,
oops, sorry, boop.
Oh, that's all right. I know there is no like perfect way. So I'll go over here. I'll change this to 6:53, just for example. Now watch down here, 6:53. It's probably about a second of sync on that. Not bad.
Wow.
Not bad at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Well, skeptics be darned.
Well, you know, you never know. Yeah. I'm actually happy we tested that out because that is a big feature of this thing.
Yeah.
That I didn't test out in advance.
I'm impressed. That was almost instant.
Not sure how much I need synchronized alarm between devices, but I know that would be handy for some people.
I'm trying to think of how many Android devices I have and like everything in my house would ring.
Yeah. Yeah, well, totally. But you wouldn't miss that alarm, damn it.
I'm also trying to think how many alarms. I mean, yeah. I use how one alarm a day.
How often do you set an alarm, too?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, cool stuff. I'm happy we checked that out.
I do like the idea that you might, this might be great for narcoleptics. You might fall asleep at any possible moment or place, so make sure you wake up.
Surround yourself. That's what you do with old Android devices. You just turn it into yet another alarm clock receiver.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
There you go.
All right, so Ron, I have your app installed. I have it. Do I have it on both, or I think I have it on the phone? I might have it on the tablet. I'll just do it on the phone because we have that the MHL feed. So go ahead and talk about it. I'll do my best to keep up.
Okay. Floating notifications. I'm never really happy with the level of multitasking you can do on Android, and floating notifications will let you take any widget and just kind of float it as a global like window over top of any other apps. So my favorite thing to do, like if I'm driving somewhere new, you know, you want to have navigation going, but you still want to be able to like change music, you can have the music widget float above navigation. And it is just, it's like so cool. It just changes the way you use your phone. You're not like constantly switching back and forth. And you can, you know, you can do two things at once. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, the setup's a little weird. You have to like drag it around, and yeah, it should stick there now. So just open something else, and it'll float there.
All right. the thing I'm going to open is underneath. Let's see here.
That is a bit of a problem. You need to plan out where you place your icons so that you can get everything.
Yeah, true, true.
Try the app drawer.
So there we go. Oh, here we go. Yep, so it stays right up there. And then now the
really cool.
The pull down
especially
notification.
When you're driving, it just saves you so many like little button presses that that you would have to do. And it works for everything. So anything you've got a widget for that you would like to permanently be on the screen, you can use that.
Excellent. So when
You have to pay for this? I totally forget. I've had it for so long.
Yeah, it's $1.49.
$1.49. Yeah.
Okay. That's not too bad. That's
worth it.
Yeah.
Now float this widget profile. What is that?
Interesting.
You can have like saved presets so that you don't have to do all of the setup you just did, like what and where. It'll just save all that in, you know, profile one will be Pandora in the top right corner or whatever.
I see. Oh, that's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. You pull down the actual notification shade to be able to get in, and I'm sure turn it off and everything. It looks like you can store up.
Yeah, that's how you can close it.
Five. You could have multiples running at the same time. Wow. This is Inception right here. This is floating widget Inception. It gets really deep. Awesome. So that is floating widget, $1.49 at the Play Store. Check that out. Very, very easy to use and get widgets on top. And I can totally see the whole navigation aspect. That's like the perfect use case for that because having to skip, you know, switch out and even take your eyes off the road just to skip a track sucks. So that's perfect. You can vote for your favorite app this week. That is what the arena is kind of all about. Go to aaapoll.com/124 for episode 124. aaapoll.com/124. Let us know which is your favorite. Is it Timely, Alarm Clock, Minuum Keyboard, or Floating Widget? And as we like to do, it's hard not to click that results button and see. Early reports are in. Timely, Alarm, and Minuum battling it out. But like we said, it always
changes. I wouldn't be surprised. Early, floating widget.
Early returns are always very different from where it ends up. So we'll see what happens. But there we go. Awesome. Well, Ron Amadio, it's awesome to have you on the show. We really hope that you'll come back sometime and geek out on more Android stuff with us.
Anytime. This is awesome.
Absolutely. The invitation is open for you. So this is kind of your opportunity to tell people what you're up to, where people can find your work. If you have anything exciting kind of in the works right now, go for it. The floor is yours.
You know, I'm at Ars Technica. I'm still kind of settling in. I've been to I've been dealing with a lot of, you know, administrative crap this week. But after I, you know, kind of settle in, I'll start banging out like cool articles and stuff like that. Most stuff ends up on my Google Plus page. That's where you can pretty much find out what I'm up to. It's just plus Ron Amadio. Just Google me. You'll find something.
That's Amadeo, not M Audio, the audio company.
That. But if you need, it's a guide for pronunciation.
Yes,
there you go.
In fact, that's what I had to think of, just to be sure that I didn't mess it up. Well, Ron, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, and we'll definitely be in touch and have you back sometime soon.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome. And we'll be following your work.
Yes, absolutely.
Ron, what you got going on, sir?
I got a little bit of everything going on. Just go to about.me/RonXO for all the latest, and you can get links to my Twitter and to my Google Plus and Facebook and all that fun stuff. And you can find me. And go to imagecomics.com, where I work by day, giving you the best comic books out there in the world. So check them out.
Awesome. Yep. Chad, what you got?
I am buying Fivers all the time, and if you want to check out what Fivers I'm buying recently, you can check out Twitter, twitter.com/omgchad.
Well, Chad, you're going to be producing All About Fivers,
All About Fivers,
right? Yeah, that's coming.
Twiff, yeah. Yeah, Twit. It's going to be the next big thing on Twit. If you want to check out the previous big things, you can go to and check out This Week in YouTube or OMG Craft, the other shows that I do. Your friendly video switcher here, signing out.
Excellent. Well, thank you for all of your hard work and awkward videos.
It was so awkward.
Let's not talk about that anymore. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. My Kickstarter is 16 hours from done.
Woo!
And I'm pretty happy that it's done as well as it has. So if you really want to get in on it, go search Yellow Gold on Kickstarter and you'll find it.
I can't,
there it is down there.
Look at that. I can't wait for the mysterious benefactor to come in and double it in the 11th hour.
I've had a couple of people do the top one, which is executive producer credits.
People you know or don't know?
No, I don't know. That's awesome. I don't know. That's just two guys that were like, hey, I'll do this.
I dig it.
Like, okay.
Now, do you feel beholden to them? Like, do you have to, like...
Well, no, I've already done the work, so they know what they're getting. I mean, no, seriously, I've already done the work. That's what it was all about. So.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you can check that out, or just wait, because the album will actually be free later as well.
Awesome.
So that's
congratulations.
It. Thanks. I'm pretty excited about it,
actually. I didn't mean to ask you, whose feet are those?
That's my daughter, actually.
That's what I thought.
She took that picture. It was probably one of the first pictures she took.
Oh, she took that picture.
She took that.
Wait, one second. I'm buying the Kickstarter. If y'all
can. Oh, look at that. It's happening
now. Thank you,
Chad. Look at that.
So that's Chad. Thank you, man.
So cool.
Yes. When she was 2.5, she grabbed my phone, went outside, and took that picture.
Aww.
And I was like, I really like that picture. So that's going to be, I'm going to do something
horrible.
There you go. Anyways, Android. That's it for this week. Voicemails can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can leave us an email or a video mail link to aaa@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're on Google Plus. There's a community for all about Android as well as an account for the show. And we're all pretty active on Google Plus these days. Show notes can be found at twit.tv. Thanks, Chad. twit.tv/AAA and past episodes on our site as well as iTunes, YouTube, all the normal places. Finally, you can always catch us live, or mostly always, at every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
Yay.